Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, this is Jordan from Age of Evil, and you are listening to Talking Metal.
What's up, guys? This is Jeremy from Age of Evil, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hey, this is Devin Townsend from Strapping Young Lad, and you are listening to Talking Metal.
Hey, this is Richard Christie, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hi, this is Glenn Tipton from Judas Priest, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hi, everyone, this is KK Downing of Judas Priest, and you're listening to Talking Metal, so you know what to do. Crank it up.
Hi, this is Ian Hill from Judas Priest, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hey, everybody, this is Rob Halford, the Metal God from Judas Priest, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
I am Dan Lorenzo from the Cursed Hades Nonfiction and who knows what else, and I love the show Talking Metal, which is what you are listening to right now.
Hello, this is Tony Iommi, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hi, this is Alex Crosby, and you're listening to Talking Metal, biatch.
This is Michael Grant with Endeavor After, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
What's up, Robin X? This is Billy Milano from SOD and MOD, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hi, this is Ozzy Osbourne, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Yes, Jim Brewer, and you're listening to Talking Metal! Hey, this is Vince Gill, you're rocking with Talking Metal! Fucking A!
Everybody, this is Gilby Clark, and we're Talking Metal.
Hi, this is Bill Cohen from Def Leppard, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hey, this is John Five from Rob Zombie, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hi, this is Hank Up from Children of Bodom, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
This is Damon Fox from Big Elf, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hey guys, welcome to another edition of Talking Metal. Mark Striegel here. Thanks for joining me. Keep in touch with us at talkingmetal@yahoo.com. We love getting those emails. Here's one that just came in. Hey guys, just curious, have you heard Rob Halford's new Winter Song CD, and what is your take on it? Some people seem to be annoyed that he would do this, but I honestly feel it was done very well and tastefully. Still metal, but in the holly jolly way. Rob's take on the traditional carols are better than some other attempts I've heard metal artists do over the years. Chris, I agree. It's a great record, and you guys should check it out. There's a free download that's available, and of course, we've heard about it. Rob was on Talking Metal Live recently promoting it. He and Metal Mike stopped by our studios in Times Square, New York City, so that was great having them down to the live show. And we will, probably right around the holiday, maybe a week before Christmas time, repackage that interview in a podcast here on the Talking Metal podcast. So stay tuned for that. We also shot it, and hopefully some of that footage will end up on Headbangers Ball on MTV2, although it looks like that will definitely be happening after the Christmas holiday. So we probably won't use any of this stuff of him talking about the Christmas album when he's on MTV2, but good stuff. And Chris, thanks for checking in with us. Guys, send us an email at talkingmetal@yahoo.com. We appreciate it. Just finished a great book, actually a couple good books. One was called Hunter's Run, a great sci-fi book. If you guys are into science fiction, highly recommended. Hunter's Run, a couple different authors on it, including George R.R. Martin, who is just very talented. Excellent book. Please read it, guys. Hunter's Run. Also, any of you creative types out there who have blogs, have bands, are writing screenplays, are writing commercials for television, whatever your thing is, there's a great book called Just Ignore Everybody, which Derek Sivers recommended, and great read. I read it in like 2 days, and a lot of great advice in the book for anybody who's trying to kind of do their own thing creatively. The next book I'm going to read is Martin Popoff's book, and it is his first of two Deep Purple books called Gettin' Tighter. And this covers Deep Purple from 1968 through 76, and it is awesome already, even though I haven't even started reading it, because on the cover is a picture of the one and only Tommy Bolin, which I thought was just such a crazy, controversial Martin Popoff thing to do, to put Tommy on the cover of a Deep Purple book. Tommy, of course, was in the band at the end of their kind of first era, if you will. They split up, I believe, in 75, 76. And Tommy played the last few tours with them, and he was on their last record, replacing Ritchie Blackmore. I mean, usually you're thinking if a Deep Purple book is going to be published, you'd probably have Blackmore, at least from that era, you'd probably have Blackmore on the cover. Maybe Gillan, although he wasn't on, you know, in the band at the beginning, so Blackmore would probably be the obvious choice, but of course Martin Popoff spins our heads a little bit, putting Tommy Bolin, the incredibly overlooked and talented guitar player who died at age 25 in 1976. If you don't have Tommy's solo record, Teaser, from 1975, get it. I love the record. It is more in the Jeff Beck style. It's not, I wouldn't call it a heavy metal record in any sense of the imagination, but it is a great rock guitar record, and everybody should own that. Tommy Bolin, Teaser. That same year, he played on the Deep Purple record, Come Taste the Band. Let's get into a little music. Tommy Bolin, David Coverdale, and Deep Purple right here on Talking Metal. Little Deep Purple. Martin Popoff, again, wrote the Deep Purple book, two of them. I'm about to start reading Gettin' Tighter by Martin Popoff. He is currently working with Sam Dunn and Scott McFadden on something. Don't know what, but Sam Dunn and Scott, of course, did the lot of great heavy metal movies, actually, including Metal, A Headbanger's Journey, a great documentary on heavy metal. And I actually saw those two guys walking down the street in Manhattan the other day, and I was on one side of Broadway, they were on the other, and it took me a minute to figure out who they were, and I had already walked a block past them by the time I realized, hey, that was Sam Dunn and Scott McFadden, and didn't get a chance to say hello to them. Wish I would have recognized them sooner. The Talking Metal forums run by Exciter, Z-Man, Shotaholic, those guys do a great job on our forums. It's a very private setting. We now have a new password for the forums. This password is the name of one of the most popular heavy metal songs of all time. It is a song that John and I covered with our friends, who was on that? The guy from Warrior Soul, Corey from Warrior Soul, and Richard Christie on drums from Howard Stern Show, and of course Death and Iced Earth, and Eddie Ojeda was on guitar for that one. So the name of that song, the song that I'm currently talking about, it's from the early 70s, a heavy metal classic. The name of that song is the new password for the Talking Metal forums, and it's great. We had a guy on there recently. It was weird. He'd been posting since early 2008, had over 830 posts, I believe, over 830 posts. And one day he just freaked out, man. He started writing a bunch of negative shit about John and I, saying we suck, much worse than that, actually. And went crazy with a bunch of wackadoodle posts. And this is a guy, I went back and I read some of his earlier posts, and he'd always been nice and seemed to be into what we were doing. And one day he just snapped. I don't know if he was a sleeper agent from one of the other shows, CMS or Metalscape or something, and one day just decided to wake up and start attacking John and I and the other forum members. But I don't know, kind of got a kick out of it, actually. So good riddance. He's now banned. And that's that. If you're a fan of the show, join us on the forums. If not, there's really no reason to be there. There's no secret information or anything going on there. So it's just a place we get together to hang out. I'm also on Twitter, too. I do tweets from twitter.com/talkingmetal and twitter.com/strigl, Strigl. So check me out there. Mars Attacks is a great show that we have streaming on my streaming radio station. You can check that out on, Thursdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Check your local listings. There is a schedule up there that generally adjusts to wherever your server is checking in from. And you can check out the stream at markstriegel.net. In the upper left-hand corner, there is a link to it. You can also find it on iTunes in the radio section. Mars Attacks, done by Marzary, 2005, from the Talking Metal forums. Great interviews this guy is doing and great music he is playing, so please check it out. And we got F-bombs for everyone, by the way. The Dan Lorenzo show is also streaming up there on my streaming radio station as well. As everybody's favorite, Talking Metal Live. Dio was just really bummed to hear the news that Dio is suffering from stomach cancer. Very sad. And we wish him the best. There's a classic picture I think John has posted a few times on the site of myself when I was 15 or 16 years old with Ronnie James Dio. And I tell you, I've been a fan really for almost, you know, 3/4 of my life, this guy. And I wish him the best of luck, and I want him to recover. I want to see him on stage again. Ronnie James Dio, please get well. Baker's Dozen, Sean Baker, amazing guitar player from Michigan. His new album is finally up on iTunes. Let's take a little sound sample here. Check a little sound sample here of Neo Classical Gas by Sean Baker, the Sean Baker Orchestra, actually, off of Baker's Dozen, now on iTunes. That was Neoclassical Gas by the Sean Baker Orchestra. Buy that song. Help us out. Go to TalkingMetal.com. In the show notes today, there will be a link that will open up your iTunes and take you directly to that song. I think it's a great song. Show your support for Sean, an independent artist. Buy that song for a mere 99 cents, and Talking Metal actually gets a cut of that. And any other songs you buy after you link through using the link in today's show notes. So, again, check that out. TalkingMetal.com. It'll open up your iTunes and you can buy some Sean Baker Orchestra. And while you're in there, load up on any other metal tracks or non-metal tracks that you want for your iTunes. Guns N' Roses going on tour. From what we hear from our friend Bumblefoot, this is happening in a matter of days at this point. May have even happened by the time you hear this podcast. So they are off and going, starting in the Far East, coming back through Canada, then down into South America. Hopefully we'll get some New York City, New Jersey shows at some point for John and I. We're even considering flying out to LA if we're doing shows out there. That would be a lot of fun. Support Talking Metal by buying a t-shirt. I think these t-shirts are pretty cool. I actually designed them with an artist, and they turned out great. Very inspired by John Astronomy's Silver Spacecraft, and they're great shirts. So pick one up today, and you can find those in the store section on TalkingMetal.com. Free music. Everybody loves free music. I have it. It's on my blog. You can go download it there. Sometimes I'm a little more subtle with how I present it, but giving you guys a couple cool Zach Wilde exclusives at this point. Till the End, the song Zach wrote with us in the studio with Bumblefoot, is up on my blog. You can find that. It was also in the news section on TalkingMetal.com. There are other bootlegs floating around of that song out there, but they're not high quality like this one. This is right off the hard drive, mixed by Bumblefoot himself, Till the End. You can find that again on my blog or in the news section on TalkingMetal.com. But on my blog, I have a lot of free stuff. I give a lot of free music away, stuff that you generally can't buy anywhere else. So definitely visit markstriegel.net for all things Mark Striegel, including free music, free MP3s. We hooked up with a band called Age of Evil recently in New York City in Hell's Kitchen. Here's an interview we did with these guys. We'll first get into some of their music. This is Cruel Intentions by Age of Evil, followed by our interview with the band.
You get high. Hey guys, welcome to Talking Metal. We are hanging out here in Midtown Manhattan, right next to the infamous Port Authority. We're here with Jeremy and Jordan from Age of Evil. What's happening, guys?
Hey guys, welcome to New York. Have you ever been to New York before?
Yes, this is my second time in New York. First time I was here on vacation, and this is the first time I've been here with the band. And so far it's been really awesome.
Well, I was here when I was like 3, so technically yes, but mentally no, because, you know, you don't remember that shit.
This is the first band I've actually heard of, and correct me if I'm wrong, where we have two sets of brothers. How did the two sets of brothers come together?
Well, we've known each other. Well, our parents kept running into each other before we were even born. And, like, randomly, you know what I mean? Just at random times, like, yo, what's up? We remember you from this time or whatever. And then, like, well, maybe we should be friends. And then they had kids, and then we started hanging out ever since we were, like, whatever, 3, 4, something like that anyways. And we just always hung out together. We were, like, inseparable, you know, always. And then we were always thinking, we want to do something, the four of us, when we're older. We don't know what it is yet, but we want to do it. We just, I don't know why. And then we started playing instruments and jamming and playing different genres of music, and now we just play this.
So did your parents push you towards the music thing, or was it something you guys just came across on your own?
Well, my mom was really into music, and her mom was into music, and it's just, we kind of had this music gene where we can figure stuff out by ear without knowing how to play any instrument or anything like that. So me and my brother, Garrett started playing the drums, and I played guitar. He picked it up when he was like, whatever, 10 or something like that, and I was 7, around the same time. He's a little bit older than me, and then Jacob and Jeremy, we were like, yo, you're gonna be in a band with us, so start playing instruments, dudes. and then Jacob picked up the bass, and then about a year or two later, Jeremy picked up the guitar, and then we all started jamming just instrumental stuff. Then we started trying out singers, getting singers, being like, oh, you're shit, you're out of the band, just keep firing singers. Then we're like, you know what, Jeremy, you start singing. And that's pretty much it. It's pretty funny.
Cool. Now, you guys started out playing rock, but then I heard that you guys did a little punk, and then now you guys have evolved into metal. How did that come about? And I had a follow-up question about your mom. Was she into metal?
Yes, very much. She got to go see all those concerts that I never got to see, you know, with Randy Rhoads, and it's not fair, man. Yeah. Wait, what was that last question?
It was, you guys, in addition to your mom being into metal, you guys started out doing some rock stuff, went into the punk genre, and then ended up doing metal, and kind of explain how that all happened.
Oh, well, I guess Jeremy could explain this one.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, early on when Jordan picked up the guitar and when we started playing together, you know, our influences were bands like Ozzy, and we were really guitar influenced, so like Randy Rhoads, Zakk Wylde, John Petrucci, Santana, Jimmy Page, bands like that we're really into. And then we just, for some reason or another, we started getting into punk, stuff like AFI and the Misfits and stuff like that. And we liked those bands, but we wanted to go into something that had more technicality, more depth, something that really meant a lot to us, especially in the music, in the attitude, you know, the rawness and the lyrics. And, you know, that's when we came upon metal. And, you know, we listen to all kinds of music, metal, rock, and we're open to all kinds of things. But, you know, metal and rock is, like, you know, where our hearts are.
Cool. Now, Jeremy, to back up a little bit, you originally were not the singer in the band,
that's
it sounds
correct,
like.
Yeah.
You, so what, you were, like, a rhythm guitar player?
Yeah, I was a rhythm guitar player. And I was trying to catch up to Jordan. He was teaching me as much as he could. We would play in the morning up until 5 in the morning till our fingers started bleeding, and like,
wow,
just recording all kinds of stuff. And you know, we didn't have a vocalist, and I stepped up to the plate and said, you know, the four of us are so tight as a unit, why bring someone else into that and and potentially create some riffage later on in the band.
Well, I mean, not only are there two sets of brothers, but you guys have known each other literally your whole life.
It's really
life.
Four brothers, yeah. It's four brothers, and you know that's a special bond that we have when it comes to writing music, playing music, touring, all kinds of stuff. You know, and we've just done everything together from vacations to making Jackass videos and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. And did you have to then go back and do any sort of training to develop your voice, or did you just kind of go for it, or what? Well, how was that?
Yeah, I mean, at first I just went for it. I had no idea what I was doing, honestly. I just kind of tried to I listened to all kinds of bands and just, you know, did my best, and then eventually I realized I was singing incorrectly and went and started taking vocal lessons and stuff like that, and that's really important. And you know, I think you have to do that in order to be a successful singer, and that's helped me, and I've come a long way since the first album, and since before then. So,
now you guys, your influences remind me at times of bands like Pantera, but then at times like bands like Iron Maiden. And what I think is really cool is I checked out your MySpace page, and you have photos with everybody from people like Lemmy to Nikki Sixx, to even to the other end of the spectrum, to people like Bret Michaels, who, you know, I think all three of those guys are cool. Yeah. Now, in today's age, sometimes it seems like, you know, the heavy bands only want to, you know, hang out with the really heavy dudes. But I think it's cool that you guys like everybody from Poison to Pantera, and you've covered Skid Row and Judas Priest on your record. So tell me about how you came about to have such a diverse, basically, background.
Basically, it's as simple as our love for music, and we like all forms of music, period. It's like people only listen to metal, and honestly, nowadays, I really don't listen to that much metal. I listen to all rock and roll and classical music and jazz music or whatever, but for some reason, whenever I pick up the guitar to write, it's like I just want to fucking play some fucking metal and get my rocks off, you know.
Cool. And Jordan, how many hours a day do you spend practicing? Because you definitely have some great technique. The solos sound awesome, and that usually doesn't come about from just playing guitar for like 20 minutes a day.
No. Well, when I was younger, I used to play hours and hours and probably 6 hours a day, which really isn't. I know people that would play like 20 hours a day, but you know, but I played like 6 hours a day or something, and I'd play something over and over, and I'd be like, it still doesn't sound right. Like, I don't know why, I just had this like focus, like, well, that doesn't sound right, so I'm going to keep practicing it till it sounds right. And some people will be like, well, I can't do it, so I'll move on to the next thing. But I'm like, no, I'm going to get that shit down and then move on to the next thing. So I was really a perfectionist, I guess. And
cool. Well, sounds great. And Jeremy, as far as the songwriting goes, is it a team effort?
Well, yes and no. I mean, a lot of the guitar riffs and the beginnings of songs usually, for the majority, start with Jordan. And, you know, a lot of times we also collaborate. And then it's brought in to the band as a unit. And then we go over certain things with, maybe we start with one riff and it evolves to a song with the whole band. Or, you know, maybe Jacob, my brother, will bring in some lyrics and we'll go from there. But I mean, it's a group effort. But, you know, a lot of it comes from Jordan also.
Cool. Now, guys, you have a new EP out. Tell us about it. And what I think is great is that it includes brand new originals, but then some covers. And is there some live stuff on it too?
Yeah, there is. From our touring out in Europe this summer, we were over there for 60 days, and we took some songs from a live show out there. And the new songs, we wanted to showcase, you know, how we've evolved from our last CD, you know, what we sound like now, and then where we're going in the future. And then we wanted to play those or record the cover songs because they're a lot of fun to play. They're a lot of fun to play live, and we wanted to show our fans, you know, that we can play songs that they'll recognize and that they would enjoy to hear too.
Cool. And we're talking about the Get Dead EP all the Talking Metal listeners. You can also pick this up on the website for only $5, which is very cool.
$5. Yeah. We want everyone to have it, and you know, we want everyone to hear our music, and hopefully everyone enjoys it. So that's our goal right there.
Cool. And Living a Sick Dream came out back in 2007. The Get Dead EP is out now, or next week, or tomorrow. So it's out. By the time you guys hear this, it'll be out on iTunes. And it's Get Dead is kind of a bridge to the next LP or long playing CD, I'm guessing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, this is basically a preview of what's to come in the LP, and you can definitely expect some big things with the next record.
Huge
things with the next record. There's going to be a lot of variation in the songs. I don't think it's just going to be a strictly metal record like the Get Dead EP is. It's gonna have a lot of different stuff, from rock and roll to metal to, I mean, all kinds of stuff. I can't even explain it. I mean, you kind of have to hear it,
but it's still gonna kick you in the teeth.
There you go.
Cool. Now, guys, exciting time for you right now. The EP is coming out tomorrow. Do you have plans to take this on the road before the next record comes out? I would think so.
Yes, but we're still kind of working out the kinks in that right now. But definitely, yes, you can expect a tour for that. Yeah.
And you guys are from Phoenix. Do you guys do any local gigs in your area? Like in the, you know, just while you're hanging out before a tour, like an official tour happens?
Yeah, of course. We play at this place called Joe's Grotto, which is like a bar, but like everyone, you know, comes there, drinks, has a fucking great time, and we, you know, we love playing there. It's just like, that's like our like home, you know what I mean?
Definitely. Cool. Cool. Well, listen, guys, we wish you the best of luck, and we're honored that you are getting introduced to the world here on Talking Metal, and we can't wait to see you play live, hopefully in the New York, New Jersey area at some point within the next year, I would imagine. I hope so.
I would imagine too, man.
Okay. Well, let us know, and we will be there. Can we get some Talking Metal IDs saying your name, your band, and you're listening to Talking Metal? You can do them one at a time or together, whatever is easiest.
So how do you want to do this, Jeremy?
I don't know.
What do you one at a time.
Hey, this is Jordan from Age of Evil, and you are listening to Talking Metal.
Excellent. Whenever you're ready.
What's up, guys? This is Jeremy from Age of Evil, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Cool. Excellent. Here, this empty line. Whoa, no!
What you just heard was Slave to the Grind, the classic Skid Row song, covered by Age of Evil. Pick that up on iTunes using the links in today's show notes. Anyways, thanks for joining me, guys. It's been a lot of fun talking with you. Hopefully, John and I will be back together on a podcast real soon. This is a great band, Big Elf. We'll hear a little of their music and then get into an interview with Damon Fox from Big Elf and end today's show with more Big Elf music. Again, they're on iTunes. Check them out. Buy their music. Support Big Elf. Rock on. Keep in touch with me on Twitter. .com/Strigl, Strigl. And check out my radio stream 24/7 on markstrigl.net in the upper left-hand corner.
Big Elf.
Hey, Damon, it's Mark from Talking Metal. How you doing?
What's up, Mark?
Thank you so much for checking in with us tonight.
What's up, man?
You know, I first heard about you guys only recently, which I'm embarrassed to say because you've been around so long. Are you?
You're not the first.
Really? Cool. Yeah. Well, the stuff that I've heard, you know, off the Cheat the Gallows album just sounds great, and wanted to get you on the show to talk about who you are and what Big Elf is all about.
Right on.
Can we talk a little bit about what you recently did, which is the Progressive Nations 2009 tour? Was it Mike Portnoy who actually brought you to the tour?
It was the Port himself, yes.
Cool.
He heard about us through a friend, and it was really that simple. He went and got some stuff off iTunes and Guess was impressed, sort of got in touch with us a little bit. We invited him to a show, one of ours, earlier in the summer on the East Coast. He came down. We were sort of cut from the same cloth, just talked for hours. And, you know, I think he was thinking about getting us on the Progressive Nation tour, I guess.
Cool. And how did the hardcore Dream Theater fans react to you guys? Because you're obviously quite different from Dream Theater.
It was pretty. I think it went over well. I think Dream Theater and Big Elf are not as different as people think. I mean, I think there's a bigger technical thing going on with them, and certainly there's a modern flair with them, whereas we have a vintage flair. But you know, it is metal with prog. It is a melodic band. They do have keyboards. You know, those kind of things. Like generally, if you think metal bands usually don't have keyboards. So I think that in general is one thing that sort of puts us closer together.
Right.
And the fact that it is, you know, the progressive leanings all over the place. At that point, it just gets into style, like what kind of style each band portrays. Mm-hmm. And that's where we really differ.
Cool.
But, the audience is fantastic. Fantastic. They were soaking it up. Of course, they couldn't wait to see Petrucci and Mike, but
right.
We were the tomato to the salad.
Cool.
Main course.
And like I mentioned earlier, I mean, you guys have been around really, I guess, since the early 90s, at least putting out albums since the mid 90s. Has the fan base changed a lot since those days?
The Elf fan base?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's growing. I think the same people are into it. It's, you know, every day somebody like yourself says, I'm exactly those words. I'm embarrassed that I don't know of you guys.
Right.
Why we haven't been, I've tried really hard. The band's tried incredibly hard, especially since the Hex album. You can just call the first two albums in the 90s sort of a wash of just maybe just being around in the wrong era.
Mm-hmm.
But since we got Hex going like 2002, 2003, I mean, you know, it was on. I mean, okay, computer, you know, there's no more excuses at that point.
Right.
To not get through. It just, we just were unlucky. But it's the fan base is growing, and, you know, people are definitely more, they're interested to hear what we have to say, which is that the music today sucks, and, you know, we got to reach back a little bit to bring something to the future to find out where it went wrong.
Right. Cool. I like that. Because you guys really aren't just a retro band. I mean, you kind of have a new spin on things going on, too.
Yeah, retro is a sort of, I mean, funny enough, sort of an oxymoron. It's a kind of a dated terminology.
Right.
For a band like us. It's simply, like I said, you know, you look to the past to look forward. Because certainly, I think everybody, I mean, there's a lot of music out there that's, you know, making waves and whatnot, but just from our perspective, it just seems like everything's a little lost at the moment.
Right.
And not say we're saving it, but it seems like the ingredients that people really want is, if it's not every 9-year-old or 18-year-old or everybody our age, everyone's looking back and going, yeah, you know, Queen was amazing. Zep, yeah, Hendrix, Doors. You know, people are looking at the vintage stuff going, that's kind of where it was at, you know?
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, there was a freshness to those bands back then.
They weren't relying on formulas.
Right.
If they were good ones.
Right, I got you.
You know, some things happen to the way music is marketed now and the way it's packaged and recorded that it's just put everybody cold. You know, I'm talking the real rock listeners.
Definitely.
There's still a commercial sense out there, and, you know, those artists still sell, and that's totally fine. The whole world doesn't have to be a rock and roll environment, and that would be, you know, amazing. But it's more or less that rock and roll as a art form is just sort of dying.
Right. No, I hear what you're saying.
I mean, you know, it's just part of the thing that's going on right now, you know?
Totally. Now, your fans include some actually pretty big names that a lot of people will be familiar with. I mean, Dave Grohl and Chris Robinson. I guess I'm not that surprised that they would know about you guys and are into you guys.
I saw Dave Grohl yesterday.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, just in a park.
Oh, cool.
He was with his daughter. I was with my daughter, and I haven't seen him for years. I'm going to go to check out the Crooked Vultures next week here in L.A.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I haven't. They played in New York. I couldn't make that the night, but John Paul Jones, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's insane. It's insane. But I was going to mention that there are other people that kind of outside of the rock spectrum, if you will, like Alicia Keys recently, I guess earlier this year, cited you guys as a band that she actually enjoys listening to. Were you surprised to hear that?
I was really surprised. I mean, you know, she's got to get her rock on, too, you know?
You think she's got some rock that's waiting to come out? Maybe release-wise?
I'll help her with it.
Yeah, excellent.
if she wants me to.
Well,
yeah, she's so ridiculously talented, that woman. She's kind of one of the rare ones left, I think, actually, in the commercial world that actually does have soul. She does have a lot to offer. And, you know, if she was to make a soul rock record, I think it would be phenomenal.
Yeah, I agree, definitely.
Yeah, she's pretty top class.
Cool. And a number of years ago, you guys, I guess it was a number of years ago, hooked up with Christina Aguilera and did a John Lennon tribute song. Was she familiar with who you were before you went in and recorded with her?
I'd played on a couple of her songs. Here and there.
And, oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah, and she was definitely familiar with me, and maybe not so much familiar with the band Big Elf, but when we were doing, she picked the song Mother off that compilation to cover, and the producer, Linda Perry, just, you know, thought of Big Elf and myself as being the sort of music energy behind it. So it kind of came out good, and, you know, I think congrats and kudos to her for having kind of the guts to do a pretty tough Lennon song.
Yeah, definitely.
You know? She's another one. She's an amazing vocalist, you know, and to have a vocalist like her shout, you know, say something about Big Elf, it's an amazing, you know, amazing thing.
Cool. Now, Cheat the Gallows actually came out in, I guess, the summer of 2008. Are you guys currently thinking about the next album at this point?
We're still going to be kind of working Cheat the Gallows because it's just entering certain parts of the world.
Yeah.
Japanese market. It just came out in Europe.
Oh, did it? Okay.
Yeah. So we were sort of trying to build a story originally in the U.S. when it came out last year. And it wasn't like, Radiohead or Coldplay or something where, the date it's released, it comes out worldwide. We needed to build a story in the U.S. and then bring it over to Europe. And luckily, with Progressive Nation U.S. and European side of both of those leagues, we were able to make a pretty good splash. New album, not right now, but I've got a lot of stuff written for the next couple albums, actually.
Cool.
So, yeah. Looking forward to that, but gotta get some more mileage out of Gallows because it's sort of made a good impression.
Yeah, and it's a great record. I highly recommend it for the Talking Metal listeners. Big Elf, Cheat the Gallows. You can buy the CD copy. You can go on iTunes, download it. I think it's actually on eMusic too. So a lot of places you can pick up this record. Is Cheat the Gallows out on vinyl?
Actually working on that just as I got back last week from the tour. We're trying to get vinyl printed up for either Japanese release or the return to Europe early next year.
Excellent.
So we're kind of sticklers on the vinyl tip. We want it to be, good quality.
Right. No, I hear you. When you look back on the history of rock, we're kind of a hard rock, heavy metal show. What are some of your favorite hard rock albums of all time?
Hard rock albums?
Yeah.
Well, definitely an album that made pretty big impression on me as a child growing up was AC/DC Highway to Hell.
Oh, yeah.
Just chock full of danger and all of that just sort of voodoo badge stuff that's in rock and roll that kind of doesn't exist anymore, actually. And you think Bon Scott and Angus, there's almost this, it's this cult thing, but it wasn't. It had this rock and roll, it's kind of hard to explain. AC/DC had that mojo, something about it.
Yeah, and it's interesting because when I hear bands, like more modern bands, like, I mean, no disrespect, but a band toward like Airborne, who tries so hard to capture that attitude that AC/DC had. And, their music's okay, but it's missing something big and it's hard to pinpoint exactly what it is.
Well, AC/DC's got all kinds of things and I do think they had good rock formulas. That simplicity that they laid down is got to be one of the hardest things to replicate, to just play that A chord to the D and, G back to A. Just, they do it like every song.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's mind-boggling, but a lot of that has to do with their swagger and the attitude. And, in the early days, Bon Scott, Jailbreak, it's not made up.
Right, right.
He's living it. That's like that's the Jim Morrison stuff, the David Lee Roth stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting, Bon Scott, too. Back in those days, tattoos were, so taboo and stuff, and he had his tattoos, and he was so much older than the other guys in the band. And
it's kind of,
the real deal.
They're definitely the real deal. One of those bands, I saw them in 1980, like the first show on the Back in Black tour.
Oh, nice.
When I was just a little elf. And, mind-shattering.
Yeah,
Angus
totally.
Comes out on the shoulders and, with the wireless and all that stuff. It was such a different experience now, like the rock concert versus, 25 years ago.
Right. Yeah.
But you only have Cream Magazine and the concert.
Yeah.
These days there's about 20 different things outside of music, technology-wise, that keep you busy.
Totally. So,
and then you have all the networks and all the downloads and all the things inside music that keep it kind of watery, actually.
Overexposure in some ways, you think?
Yeah, I mean, the mystique is kind of lacking.
Mm-hmm.
But, that's sort of my complaint. I think you have to play the game inside the networks and, the Twitters and the MySpaces of the world and, all that stuff. It's just the way music is now.
Yeah. But the mystique is definitely missing sometimes. I mean, I look back at bands like Pink Floyd and Led Zeppelin. Yeah. When I was a kid, it was like Led Zeppelin, just to see footage of them, it was so tough, you know, before the internet. I mean, there was The Song Remains the Same, but besides that, there was so little footage of them available, you know?
Yeah, we used to, when I was in my like early 20s, we would be trading and contacting, you know, progressive rock newsletters, trying to get the Music Laden shows from Germany with Vandegrift Generator and King Crimson and, you know, Sabbath and you know, The Doors and it was like a Dutch show, you know, Deep Purple and Belgium, all these famous things. You're trying to get a better quality from the next. And, you know, now you just turn on YouTube and they're all there.
Yeah, totally.
You can, and now more and more, these things are just actually being released.
Mm-hmm.
Which is you know, on my side of things, great, because it's phenomenal to see this footage in crystal clear quality.
Totally.
In broadcast quality. But other great records, you know, Sabbath's first record was kind of one of those also for me. Rock record just used to scare the hell out of me when I was a kid. Another thing that's just kind of gone from rock is that, I don't know, like, it's part of that mystique, but it's also that darkness. But it's like a real darkness,
mm-hmm.
You know? I don't know. Music just, I don't know. It's hard. I guess what you were saying is too much marketing, overexposure.
Overexposure, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can't go back. It is what it is, but you can. And I think the Mars Volta, they have a kind of good, kind of nice setting for their mystique. You know, it's not too overexposed. Yet they're in contact.
Yeah.
I think that's like a good balance of a band, you know, a good example for me that I sit there and think, yeah, this is a band that's not going over the top, but still has like, yeah, who are those guys kind of thing.
Right.
You know?
Interesting.
This is Damon Fox from Big Elf, and you're listening to Talking Metal. You're one step closer to doom.
Excellent. This is Big Elf with Hydra off the Cheat the Gallows record here on Talking Metal. Thanks, Damon.
No, thank you, man. Rock on.
Keep in touch.
All right, man.
Bye.
Take it. We'll be right back.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.